Thanks for joining us, whether you're here in person or online. I'm excited to have a chance to share today, and Byron will be here to share a communion thought, but he asked me probably middle of December if I would speak, and I said, yeah, I think my heart's ready to share some things. So thanks for joining us. Today, I want to talk about life in community. We're going to continue our series, Life as We Might Know It, and community has always been important to me. Having a group of friends has always been important, whether it was Boy Scouts or the youth group at Hillcrest Christian Church. I joined a fraternity at Indiana State, basketball team whenever I transferred to Johnson, different jobs and churches. Friendships and community have always been important to me. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think I'm alone in the fact that community is important. In fact, I think it's something that God has put in our DNA. If you don't know the first story of the Bible, God creates the world, the universe, and he creates man. And he's walking through the garden with Adam, and in all of this beauty and wonder, and he tells Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. And from that time forward, we've had in us as humanity this need to be with people. There's a saying that says that everyone needs a tribe. Everyone needs a group, a community to belong to. So how does that manifest? What does that look like for us? Well, first, God gives us an identity. He says, here's who you are. You have your own personality and your own skills and gifts and your own passions. Each of us are wonderfully, beautifully made. Even twins, there are differences in twins. So we have an identity, who we are. And for those of us who follow Jesus, we have an identity that's covered in him, the me. And then we have a sense of belonging, this thing that God planted in Adam and has been in humanity since, a sense of belonging and a sense of needing to be with people, to journey through life together. He gave us a sense of community and a need for community. And then he asks the we to then have a mission, to go beyond themselves and to bless humanity. So we have me and we and humanity. And that's been in us from the very beginning. The story of Abram is an amazing story. God calls Abram to start this nation of Israel. And he says, Abram, here's your identity. In fact, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. You're going to be in a covenant with me. You have a new identity. You are now Abraham. And from you, I'm going to create a tribe, a nation, a group. And from your group, from your tribe, you're going to bless all tribes. You're going to bless the world. Community and belonging are about coming alongside and being with people in the good and the bad. Community is about saying, yes, I'm going to journey with you. And I know that sometimes whenever the journey's tough, it's easy to kind of fall aside. It's easy when we have to wear masks to kind of separate and social distance and, well, we can't meet. But God's given us this need to come alongside each other. I love the story in Exodus 17, Israel's fighting the Amalek army. And as long as Moses is holding his arms up and his staff, he's holding his arms up, the Israelite army wins. But if you've ever tried to hold your arms up for very long, I could probably do it for 5 minutes. Maybe, thank you, Jim. Your arm's gonna get tired, and that's what happened to Moses. In verse 12, it says, Moses' arms soon, kind of like me, became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. They stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. See, Aaron and Hur didn't come to Moses and say, hey, I'm gonna fix this. Here's a new battle plan. This holding your arms up thing isn't gonna work. They didn't come and say, here's how you fix things. Here's the three-step program to make sure we win this battle. No, they simply came alongside and held up his arms. Galatians 6 puts it this way, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and you will fulfill the law of Christ. So what is the law of Christ? Well, according to Jesus, it's to love God and to love others. So when we carry each other's burdens, when we come along someone whose arms are too tired, when life has knocked them down time and time again, we are loving them and we're fulfilling the law of Christ. We're coming along and helping one another. There are almost 60 times in the New Testament that there are these one another commandments. There's a website in your bulletin and your program that shows if you want to go and see the whole list of one another's. But here are a few that I love. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Build up one another. Accept one another. Care for, serve, love, forgive, be patient with, comfort one another. Community is about one anothering. And over the last 13 months, community has one anothered my family. Over the last 13 months, community has carried our burden. For those who don't know, Abigail, our daughter, died on December 15th, 2019. And our tribe has carried our burden. They've done that in a number of ways. Many of you have done that in a number of ways. Cards and notes, and here's a Bible verse, providing meals, simply sitting and listening, crying with us, holding us. Our tribe was there the night that Abigail died. When we went to her apartment, some of our tribe was there. And they held us and hugged us, and they carried that burden. And then the week of the funeral, we had parts of our tribe from all over the U.S., Missouri and Tennessee and Baltimore and here, carry the burden of planning a funeral that honored Abigail and Jesus. And over the last 13 and a half months, our tribe, our community has carried us. And I honestly believe that we wouldn't be where we are today without our community. There are a lot of families who, when things like that happen, the family falls apart. There's a staggering number of people who commit suicide after they lose a child. But community has carried us. Now, community didn't fix things. Know this, if you're part of a community and there's trauma, if there's a struggle, you're not gonna fix it. You're not called to fix it. You're called to come alongside and lift up. And that's what community has done for us. And I think that's really important because that's what Abigail lived out. Abigail lived out community, and we created this loved well phrase after her. It's the legacy she lived. She was all about community. She would write notes. She was the Joy Sewell of her generation. So many friends came and said, here's the note Abigail wrote me. Here's the letter she wrote me. It came at just the right time. She just popped in. I was going through a tough time, and she just popped in to see how we were doing. She brought me a Diet Coke just to say I love you. Abigail thrived for, and she was created for, and she lived out community. She did it well. But she's not alone. We aren't alone. We are all called to live out community. It's what we're created for. We have an identity in Jesus, me. And we're called to community, to be we, to carry each other's burdens. Not to fix the burdens, but to carry them. And then to have a mission to then go and bless humanity. And before we talk about that mission, I want us to sing a new song, and it's a song called The Blessing. And it's a song that is full of scripture. The whole song is scripture, singing over one another, blessing over one another. The first few lines come from Numbers chapter 6. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and give you peace." Before we go further, I just want us to pray and then sing this song of blessing over one another. God, thank you that you have created in us a need for community. God, as we sing this song of blessing over one another, we sing and we make this our prayer that you bless us, that you keep us, that your face shines toward us, that you give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
So what is empathy, and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions, where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment. Not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, "I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed." And then we look and we say, "Hey, you can climb down. I know what it's like down here, and you're not alone." Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with "at least." And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So, "I had a miscarriage." "Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant." "I think my marriage is falling apart." "At least you have a marriage." "John's getting kicked out of school." "At least Sarah is an A student." But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, "I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me." Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
Rarely does a response make something better. What makes something better is connection. Being with someone. I call it withness. I don't think it's a real word, but I made it up the last 13 months. Withness is just being with. Not trying to fix, not trying to silver line, just being with. And that's what community is all about. It's about connection. You know, there are a lot of groups in the world, a lot of things that make a we. There are sports teams, and there are political affiliations, schools we graduated from, places we work, churches we attend, leagues, all kinds of groups. But to be a complete tribe, to be a complete group, there must be a mission. To be a complete and whole tribe, the way God has created us, there has to be a mission that goes beyond the group. It's not just we. It's not just how are we doing. It's a mission that then blesses humanity. I have a friend who uses the hashtag bless the world, and he uses it all the time to remind himself and to remind his community that it's not about how we can bless us. It's how can we do things that bless the world? There's an old Jewish phrase, tikkun olam, and it means repair the world. Tikkun olam is this idea that God has created the world and created us to help repair the broken world. He's done all the work. He's done the work through Jesus. But he's asked us to come alongside him to be co-laborers, to be co-workers, and help bless the world, to help repair the world, to help fix humanity. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says it this way, for we are co-workers in God's service. We're co-workers. He doesn't just fix it and say, you don't have to do anything. No, community's about saying, I know my identity in Jesus, and I've joined with another tribes, other people, and we have this vision to then go and help the rest of the world. Co-laboring with God means that we're going to use our gifts, our unique identity, and we're going to join with others to then help repair the world. Romans 12 says it this way, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. There's all these identities, but we belong to each other. We are a tribe. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's to give, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And a lot of times we end there when we're talking about gifts and about how to bless the world, but I love verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Isn't that a weird place to put that verse? Hey, here's all your gifts. Don't pretend to love. Really love. In other words, this tribe, this community, if you really want to fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love others, use your gifts. Fulfill the law of Christ. Part of the beauty of the gospel is it's not about me. It's not for me only. The gospel is this idea that we are all in this together. That humanity, human beings are all in the same boat. We've all sinned. And because of God's amazing, gracious, indescribable love, he sent Jesus to sacrifice and die for us so that if we have a new identity in him, we can join others and then go and share it with the rest of the world. We recognize our own brokenness and then we want to go and tell others about their brokenness. Not so that we can say, you're broken, but to say, I'm broken too. The gospel offers a new view of humanity. The gospel offers this new view that no longer looks at humanity based on our differences, but on what's similar. And that's only found in Jesus. Jesus came to erase all the labels, to erase all the things that divide us. Galatians 3 says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Let me paraphrase that in 2021 version. You're no longer Republican and Democrat. You're no longer left and right. You're no longer Hoosiers and Boilermakers. Praise Jesus. You're no longer the denomination that you think that labels you. You're no longer. You have a new identity. You follow Jesus. That's your label. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm going to join with other followers. I'm going to be part of this tribe called the children of God. And we are going to fulfill our mission to bless others. Me. We. Humanity. So what now? What do we do with that? Well, this morning, I think there are probably people watching or here who have never identified fully with Jesus. You've never changed your identity. You are still incomplete. You've never chosen to surrender to Jesus and say, I have a new identity. No longer am I this broken thing. I am now this broken thing made whole by Jesus. And you need to claim Jesus today. Some of you have claimed Jesus and you have this identity, but you haven't committed to a tribe, a community, a we. And you need to. You need to be a part of a small group. You need to be a part of a church, a community of believers who will help carry you and you can help carry them. Maybe you're a part of a group, a tribe, but you've lost your mission. You've lost your focus. Whether it's the pandemic or life or whatever, you've become internally focused or you've just kind of given up the tribe. I think there's probably a lot of us here too that are just tired. You have an identity, you have a tribe, you're trying to fulfill this mission, but it is tiring and it's wearisome and it's a burden. I had a friend from one of my tribes call me a couple weeks ago and that's what he said. He said, I'm just tired, Troy. I read to him what I'm going to read to you as an encouragement. Some of you just need to be encouraged today. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Let's not tired. Let's not grow tired. Let's not grow weary of doing good, of fulfilling our mission. I'm reading through Acts right now in my read through the New Testament. And the book of Acts is this story of how the church started. So it's right after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected and gone back to heaven. And he tells his disciples, his followers, hey, you're now my apostle. You're my disciple. Work with each other and then go and tell the rest of the world. So Acts is that story of how they go and tell the rest of the world. And there's story after story of how this tribe, how this group goes and tells people about Jesus. And people start following and it's amazing and there's joy and there's celebration. But then there's story after story of them being thrown in jail, of being put on trial for religious reasons. And I can imagine how tiring that would be. And they do something pretty profound. I'm going to give two examples. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin were a group of religious leaders. The apostles left this group of leaders rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Messiah. These guys had just been put in jail and released and put on trial. And what do? They leave rejoicing. Not growing weary, not growing tired, but rejoicing. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, two of the first missionaries ever. They're in prison and verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What did the early apostles do, the early followers of Jesus do? They praised, they rejoiced. They continued to proclaim day after day, in house after house, in conversation after conversation, Jesus is the Messiah. They didn't do it alone. They weren't the Lone Ranger. They weren't fixing the whole world by themselves. No, they were doing it together. And they had this mission that drove them. And when they got weary, they rejoiced. And maybe this morning, you just need the encouragement to rejoice. Two of the most important people in my life over the last 13 months have said, Troy, sing. Even if you don't want to, sing. Proclaim truth out loud. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep meeting together. Rejoice, Troy. And it's been hard. I can tell you, 12 months ago, I couldn't have sang the song we just sang. There's no way. But I kept singing. Because community held up my heart when it was too heavy. Prodded me and pushed and loved and hugged. And they didn't fix things. They just said, keep rejoicing. So wherever you are in that story, whether you need to first find an identity in Jesus or you have a mission and you're just tired, pray that you rejoice. Because when we rejoice in the brokenness, we tikkun olam. We repair the world. And when I've sang, I don't know the right verb, in my brokenness, God hasn't fixed me, but he's repaired me. We're going to sing a couple of songs that rejoice because God is worthy of everything. He's worthy of praise, even in our brokenness, even in our pain. We're going to sing a song that says we're going to raise a hallelujah. And hallelujah is this word that is really two words. Hallelujah, which means praise, and Yah, which is for Yahweh, God. We're going to raise a hallelujah, even in our brokenness. We're going to encourage each other because that's what tribes do. That's what community does. We're going to encourage each other, and we're going to sing, and we're going to hold each other up. If you would, pray with me. God, I thank you so much that you call us, that our identity can be different only in Jesus. God, I thank you that even in our brokenness, we can rejoice. And that's what we do now. We are just a bunch of broken people who are trying to be like Jesus and trying to fulfill a mission to tell the world about the hope that is in you. So today, we raise a hallelujah. Even if we feel surrounded, even if we feel the world's crumbling all around us, we raise a hallelujah because you deserve it. You deserve praise. Thank you for community that holds each other up. Thank you for this community, for so many communities and tribes that have held me. May we all, tikkun olam, repair the world. In Jesus' name, amen.